We're going to look in John at chapter 15. We're going to read about six verses out of the book of John. And our subject this morning is seven keys to joy. Seven keys to joy from John 15. You know, I believe one of the things that is greatly lacking among the people of God today is joy. We live in an age when things are very uncertain. We live in an age when the very truths of Christ have been twisted out of shape by a multitude of religious proponents. We live in an age when the very trials and afflictions that beset mankind can wear away on the joy that children of God can experience in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess as Baptist preachers, we're as guilty as the next about not preaching as we ought to, frequently and with the power of the Holy Spirit on the subject of joy. Maybe we do that because our joy gets muted too as we seek to serve the Lord in this present evil world. But I believe that one of the things that the people of God need above everything else is to be able to experience joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to enjoy the Lord and enjoy the things of the kingdom, to be able to enjoy their salvation in Christ, to be able to feel the presence of God in their lives with the kind of inner peace and joy that enables them to rejoice when times really aren't that good, when times really are trying. So, in John chapter 15, I want to begin reading in verse 5. Jesus saith here, I am the vine, ye are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, what the Lord Jesus says in verse 11 here is a thing that seems totally out of sync with a lot of the Lord's people today. This expectation that he expresses, that your joy might be full. The way that God's people act sometimes, I halfway believe that they either lose sight of, forget, or have not become aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have joy. That despite the fact that he warned us that in this world you shall have tribulation, that he nevertheless put alongside that the prospect of having joy in him here and now. Now you know that when we get to heaven, that we're going to be filled with joy. Things are going to be exceedingly joy-producing. We're going to have the kinds of things in heaven that we all hope for and look forward to, and it'll be beyond the expectations that we feel right now. It'll be beyond anything that our imagination can contrive right now. And so we know that when we get to heaven, we'll have a fullness of joy like we have never, ever known. But I believe our Savior wants us to have joy now. The kind of joy that superabounds in such a way that it overcomes the depressing kinds of things that occur around us and to us in this world. So I believe it's important for us to take a look at how we as God's people can lay hold on full joy in the Lord. And I'm trusting this morning that the Holy Spirit will show us, each and every one, the seven keys that are revealed here by Jesus to how we can derive such joy in the Lord. Now the first key to having full joy we find in verse 7. What he says here is simply, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. First phrase is the first key. If ye abide in me. That's the first key to joy. In order to have some joy of the kind that he's discussing here, you have to abide in Christ. First of all, if you're here this morning and without Christ, we can't in any way point you to the kind of joy that the Lord was talking about in verse 11. We can't get you there. You can't get yourself there. You can't discover that kind of joy. Anything you have on earth today that might be called joy can only be fleeting if you do not abide in Christ. Because abiding in Christ is the starting point. It is the stepping off place for going into the deep water of the joy that Christ offered to His people. So if you're here lost, you can't have this joy. You must abide in Christ. So what I might say to anyone here who this morning does not know Jesus as Savior is look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sole source of any meaningful and lasting joy. Look to this Christ of God that we preach, and look to how you may discover Christ for yourself. He's only a step away from being the kind of Christ that you need for joy in your life. You know, people hear the gospel preached every day. They hear us Christians talk about how Christ can give us this and give us that and be this to us and be that to us. But they never experience these things. They never experience them until, in fact, Christ comes into their life, into their soul, and speaks to their heart. And how does He do that? Well, the brother told us how He does that this morning in the Sunday school, by the preaching of the gospel. And so I say plainly to you this morning that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He gave Himself as the Lamb of God, as the Father had directed, to be a sacrifice for our sins, to pay our sin debt, to get us out of and off of the slave market of sin, to set our feet on a righteous path, to cleanse us from all iniquity, to wash us clean in His precious blood. And so He died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood to do that. But He did more. That gospel that we preach tells us that He, the third day, rose again from the grave that He'd been placed in. He rose to newness of life. He came up out of the grave, the Savior that He is, to guarantee and ensure to us that we might have eternal life, and that we might look at Him in His resurrection power and see that that life is a surety for us. And you can say, as a child of God, that if Jesus really rose, I am sure to rise, because we were buried with Him. We were resurrected with Him. And so we may be certain that as sure as He rose, we likewise shall rise from the grave if we should die, if Jesus tarries. At any rate, we are going to be translated to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's life eternal. And so, all you have to do is believe in that gospel that we preach, and thou shalt be saved. It's so simple that some people consider it too simple. Too simple of a thing. They have to have something complicated by which to be saved. If you're looking for something complicated to be saved by, and you go down through life looking for that something complicated to be saved by, I can tell you something. I can prophesy. You'll never be saved. Because the salvation which is in the Lord Jesus Christ is very simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now once you do that, you come to abide in Christ. So for the believer, he is abiding in Christ. That's the first key to joy. That's the starting place. And the believer abiding in Christ can have joy in Christ day by day. But there are problems with that. Because God's people have this tendency to act like Father Adam and to not feel the sense of abiding in Christ that they need to feel in order to feel the joy that we can have in Christ. We need to settle this issue in our hearts and establish within our minds that we do abide in Christ. We need to be rid of doubts and fears and concerns and misgivings. You know, the thing that happens to God's children is they get a little off to the left or the right down the pathway of following Christ, and they lose sight of the fact that they are in Christ. They lose sight of the fact that He's upholding them with His hand. They lose sight of the fact that as God has accepted the Son, He's accepted them within the Son. And when we do that, we lose sight of that which can cause us unutterable joy. Now, we need therefore to reveal, to have revealed in our hearts that we truly are secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to feel it with the confidence that makes us able to go day by day and say, I'm in Jesus. I'm okay because Christ holds me there. I'm okay because I've been born again by the Spirit of God into the family of God, and Christ keeps me in that condition. I don't think there's anybody in the world can be more miserable than somebody to imagine that they have salvation, but hey, they can lose it tomorrow. That's got to be a miserable state. We need to know that if we've been saved, we're kept by the power of God. And we'll never fall. We'll never fail. We'll be with Christ eternally. I'll use a couple of verses that you need to dwell on. Because if you've lost some of the vision of being in Christ perpetually, you need these comforting words from Christ. John 10, 27 and 28, the Lord Jesus Himself said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. And listen, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of My hand. Do you need anything more secure than that? Do you expect anything more secure than that? I don't. If the Lord Jesus Christ has said to me, you know, I have given you eternal life and you shall never perish, and none is able to pluck you out of My hand, that's all I need. That's all of the assurance I ought to need to realize that day by day and moment by moment, I am abiding in Christ. Even when I don't feel too righteous, too pure, too clean, even when I know that I have made some mistakes, that I have sinned, I can know that I abide in Christ. Not because I keep myself caught up and hooked to Christ, but because Christ keeps me in Himself. That's how I can know it. None can pluck them out of My hand. They shall never perish. So for those who may be in doubt about whether they have a relationship with Christ, this is the starting point. Abiding in Him. And we need to assure ourselves of that day by day. Now the second key we find also in verse 7. The second key for how to have joy in Christ is this: and My words abide in you. The first thing we need to do is realize and understand and get hold of the fact that we abide in Christ. The second thing, the second key to joy, is that we must be assured and feel within ourselves that the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ abides in us. Now Jesus' Word living inside us can day by day and repeatedly come to us and fill us with joy. One of the big problems we have with having joy in the Lord is not feeling that the Word of Christ abides in us. We get forgetful. We don't study the Word of God. We don't remind ourselves of what the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ says. And as a result, the feeling, the sense that it is abiding in us drifts away. We get caught up in things. And we forget the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised us. And when we forget the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's like it fades into the background. And then troubles beset us. And problems of the world become the high priority. But when the word of Christ abides in us, that means lives in us, then we have the second key to joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the most happy conditions that I'm in my life is when something happens in my life and my mind and my heart immediately references it to something that Jesus has said. That's the word of Christ abiding in you. I get tried. Troubles come my way, afflictions, things that are problems. And the word of the Lord Jesus Christ comes to me and says, you have trials, tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That makes me have joy because the word of Christ is abiding in me and I identify with what it says in reference to what's happening to me. That is one of the keys, the second key to joy. The third key is found in verse 7. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We've got to abide in Christ. His Word's got to abide in us. But when we can ask what we will, and have it done unto us, that's the third key for this fullness of joy that the Lord Jesus Christ has said we can have. What about this particular key? Well, receiving answers from Christ and knowing we have received answers from Christ is that deep source of joy that nothing can take the place of. Let me just ask all of you a question. How many of you are getting from Jesus what you asked today? Most of the time, a lot of us will say, well, I'm really not. I'm asking things of the Lord. The deep things seem like the things that I want the most deeply. Those are the things that I'm not getting. We get in those places. We get in those places when we really want something from the Lord and our soul is weighted down with a desire for it and a need for it. And we feel that it is something that would glorify the Lord and we ask for it and we don't get it. It waits and waits and waits. Time passes and time passes and we never see it, or we don't see it when we feel like we really must have it. Well, we're creatures of a moment. We're creatures of the hour. We feel like that instant gratification is the only thing that will fully satisfy us. But you know what? The Lord has a timetable. And the Lord answers His people in due season. And He answers according to what His will is. And so, we find that the Lord's Word isn't true. It only rings untrue to us when we doubt that the Lord will answer us. But the promise in John 14, verses 13 and 14 from the Lord Jesus Christ is still legitimate today. And there He said, and whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. And we say, well, I've been asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this thing that's urgent on my heart for days or weeks or months, and I see no light at the end of the tunnel. I see nothing that suggests that God is going to answer me. I want to give you a key about that. Now, this preacher can give you this key and talk to you about this key because I've been guilty of failing to see the whole truth about the whole key of this praying thing myself. And having learned the hard way that sometimes when we're praying and we think we're praying right, we're really praying wrong, and that's why we don't get answered from God. I want to give you this key, and it was revealed by Peter as inspired by the Lord in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. He gives us this spiritual formula. Peter and John are going up to the temple. an endless lame man, and he's seeking alms there at the doorway of the temple. And as he's seeking alms, he asks Peter and John for alms. And Peter and John fasten their eyes upon him. And Peter says, "Look on us." And he does something for that man that day that that man never probably expected to ever happen. All he was expecting was a few coins. But that day, Peter said, "Silver and gold, count on none. But whatsoever I have, giveth I unto thee. I say unto thee, arise and walk." And the man leaped up and walked and went about the temple praising God. And a bunch of people saw the big furor, and they started gathering around. And they wondered what was going on. And Peter explained to them what was happening and what had happened. We find in verse 16, he says something that is so profound about praying. And if we can just get this key, then we have the third key to having a fullness of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to those people gathered around, and in His, Jesus' name, through faith in His name. In His name, or His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong. Oh yes, we pray in Jesus' name. The Bible bids us to. We've been taught that from childhood. We pray in Jesus' name. But I wonder, when we're praying in Jesus' name, do we really say, "Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus"? And at the moment when we do that, I wonder if faith is really working there. Faith in His name. It's not just the name. People use the name of Jesus Christ everywhere across the world, all the time, in all kinds of situations. But there's a far cry from using the name of Christ and using the name of Christ with faith in that name. And that's the key. And when we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is faith in that name to bring it to pass, we have what we desire from God. And that's the third key to a fullness of joy. Because, brothers and sisters, nothing can fill us with rejoicing more, I don't think, in this present evil world than having to ask God for something and all of a sudden realizing that God answered it. Now, we can't always do this. I would to God, every time we call upon the Lord, we could do it. But we know we can't. We go up and down in our spiritual lives with the Lord. We go up and down in our spiritual strength. We go up and down in our daily faith. And so we can't always do it. But this is one key to having joy in the Lord. A lot of times when I work real hard and I'm bending and stooping and crawling around in that house down there, I'll go home and go to bed, and in the middle of the night, I'll get cramps in my calves down the side of my legs. Part of it has to do with this medicine I'm on. I have them sometimes without hard work, working my legs hard. And then, the other night, a couple of weeks ago, about in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I started to cramp in my left leg down the side. And I always jump up out of bed, and I have to put my weight a certain way on my legs to get rid of that cramp. So I was putting my weight on that leg, and I stood there, and the cramp wouldn't yield to that weight distribution I usually could get them to go away with. And I stood there and suffered that leg cramp until it just kind of subsided by itself, and I got back in bed. It wasn't but a little bit that both legs started cramping, and I jumped up and got the weight distribution thing going, and it wouldn't subside. So I let it subside by itself. It took a good little while. I went back to bed. It wasn't any time at all. So I woke up, both legs cramping again. I jumped out of bed, and I was there trying to distribute my weight so I could use the age-old formula for getting rid of those cramps, and they wouldn't go away. And all of a sudden, I said, "What am I doing here? I have a God in heaven who's the great physician and the healer of everything, and here I am with some simple cramps,
and I'm standing here trying to do it on my own. Lord, would you take away this pain? Now, brethren, just like that, it goes zzz. It felt like that zzz. And it was gone. And I got back in bed, and I didn't have any practice the rest of the night. Now, at that moment, God had given me the power to understand and the faith to believe in His name for the needed healing of the crowds. We do that sometimes. But very often we forget that important formula of calling upon the Lord with faith in that name, that we can have what we ask for. Now, James warns us that we can't get it either way we do it. If we pray amiss, that we might consume it upon our lusts. And so we have to be careful, be able to analyze and understand when we're praying aright and when we're praying amiss. We need to be able to do that. We need to be able to measure it by the Word of God. And you know, God is not remiss to heal us from diverse problems. The Lord Jesus Christ did it all the time while He was walking around the earth. And we have an instance of this that we're just discussing now. And so, the Lord has a prayer to answer for us, but He answers by asking in His name with faith in that name. That's the third key. The fourth key is seen in verse 9. Jesus says here, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I love you." Now I can just stop on that, because if there was ever a profound statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the one. "As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you, brethren." I don't know how to measure that. I don't know how to speak of it. I don't know how to define it. I don't know how to characterize it. But the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is of the magnitude that the Father has for His Son. Is that cause for joy? I believe it is. I believe it ought to make us shout to know that our Savior loves us with that magnitude of love. I'm so glad this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. And I'm so glad that I can fathom a little bit of it with this little pea-sized human brain that I have. But to think about how great that love is, and not even be able to think about the magnitude of it, not even be able to get my mental arms around it, that is great joy as far as I can think about the love Christ has for me. I don't get to the end of how great Christ's love is for me. As large as I can imagine it to be, I can't think largely enough to encompass it all. Because His love must be infinite. It has to be infinite because the love of God the Father for the Son is infinite, and in the same way that God loves the Son, the Lord Jesus loves us, His people. You could just go on and on with that, but that's key number 4. The fifth key at verse 9. Again, He says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." The fifth key is this, that having a sense of really being His disciple is a source of joy in itself. But we can't have a sense of really being His disciple if we are not bearing fruit for His cause. I think one of the worst, the greatest detriments this morning to the joy that should be filling the hearts of God's children everywhere is the fact that they are not bearing fruit as they are. I think one of the greatest detriments to us realizing the joy of the Lord is that we're not laboring in the Lord in such a way that fruit is being born. It looks like a tree that's supposed to have fruit on it, And somebody has to search under every leaf to find some. Now, it's for certain you'll bear fruit. But the real problem with us and our joy is when we live in such a way that fruit is so minimal upon us that we don't feel like disciples of the Lord. We don't feel like we're doing anything for the Lord. You know what? If this morning you're a child of God and you don't feel very productive to the Lord, I have some advice for you. Go do something for the Lord. Huh? Isn't that the solution? We're a nation today where doing things out in our daily life for the Lord is on the downgrade. In fact, our society, our culture promotes not doing anything for the Lord while you're out there in your daily life. But if you do that, if you follow the influence of our culture, the next thing you know, you've lost sight of your discipleship. And when you lose sight of your discipleship, you've lost sight of the fifth key. You've lost sight of the joy of the Lord. Not feeling as a disciple like you're a disciple of the Lord will rob you of joy. The sixth key we find in verse 9. Continue ye in my love. Now here is almost it's a very, very deep statement by the Lord. Continue ye in my love. What does this mean? Because we know that it is the love of Christ for us that keeps us. That's part of that security web that the Lord has woven around us that keeps us. So what does He mean, continue ye in my love? I believe what He means is this. This is that this statement from Him is all about overt behavior. This statement is about constancy and certain behavioral expressions. Continue ye in my love. It's like saying, act out my love in your life. That is the sixth key. If we don't act out the love of Christ in our life, we diminish any possibility of feeling the joy of the Lord. If we squelch the love of the Lord and quench the manifestation of love in the acts and deeds that we do, we limit the source of joy we're capable of finding in living the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have time to look at it, but if you want to see a profile of what I'm talking about, of how love is manifested in this world, the love of Christ, go and read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, especially verses 1 through 8, and what you find there is an outline, a summary, if you will, of how the love of Christ manifests itself. When you get to each one of those descriptives there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, when you get to each one of those descriptives, ask yourself if that descriptive is in your life. If it's not there, you're quenching the manifestation of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue ye in my love is the sixth key. And without continuing in His love, we lose track of how to find joy in Him. The seventh key we find in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Now, you might say, well, that's almost a repetition of what He said in verse 9. No. I believe that in verse 9, He was talking about a constancy in certain behaviors. I believe in verse 10, this seventh key is talking about a constant state of being. Look how He says it. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's talking about a constant state of being. Joy is full when we abide in His love. And we do that abiding in His love, that constant state of being, we accomplish that by keeping His commandments. I don't know if the times the Lord Jesus Christ warns us to keep His commandments, encourages us to keep His commandments, admonishes us to keep His commandments. Why does He do that? Because He's a stickler for commandments? No! Because within that is the seventh key to the joy that we can have in the Lord. By keeping His commandments, we abide in the influence of His love. Nothing pleases the Lord Jesus Christ more than for us to have a constancy of doing the things that He has commanded us to do. And when he sees that we with constancy are doing the things that He commanded us to do, He will pour out His expressions of love upon us. Now, to close, let me just say this. We sung a song from page 264 in our hymn books this morning before the Sunday school. You go back to that song on page 264 and you look at the last two phrases in the chorus. And that song is about the garden. Those phrases say this: and the joy we share, Jesus and I, as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'll tell you something, that old song does ring true. That joy that you share with the Lord Jesus Christ when you follow the formula of the seven keys, that joy that you share with Christ, none other has ever known. The Lord Jesus Christ has an experience of joy for you in Him that does not belong to anybody else. It's yours and His. It's what He shares with you and you share with Him. Yes, I'm going to have joy in the Lord. And as closely as I can follow the seven keys, I will have manifold joy in the Lord. If I can follow all seven keys, I'll have a fullness of joy in the Lord. But what I have is not yours. And what you have is not mine. Because Christ has a special, singular, unique joy to share with you concerning your relationship with Him and His relationship with you. Will you let that joy languish? Will you just let it not grow up into what it is capable of being? Or will you simply take the Lord Jesus Christ's instructions and follow the seven keys and discover a level of joy in the Lord Jesus Christ that calamity in the world cannot shake, that problems in your life cannot diminish, that conflict cannot take away, that nothing can detract from? This is the kind of joy He promises when He says, I spoke these things to you that your joy might be full.